Today we're going to do a few halachos in Kufchaf Gimel. I'm going to do different than usual, which is I'm not going to read the din first, because I'm going to spend a good amount of time just explaining to you what's going on before you get ready for the din. Okay? And that is like this. We're going to be talking about dinim about something called temed. Okay? And temed means something that you take some leftovers from making of wine, and you somehow make that into new wine. Okay? Temen means is it's no, yes, I don't know, it's a warning of knife, Gemara. So you have this thing called temen, which is it's not regular wine. It's only leftovers, and we're going to see about what exactly they make it from. Some kind of leftovers that you manage to make it into a second round of making wine. The dinim, as you're going to see, at least to me, are very complicated. So first, I'm going to talk to you just to explain to you what the din is and where it comes from. And once we got through the din, then we'll have some practical applications, and hopefully we'll figure out if I'm pronouncing that what piket is. Okay. The din we're going to talk about, kama gemara babasa, has nothing to do with stam yayin. It has to do with wine. Doesn't say a word about stam yayin. The connection to stam yayin is going to come from a rush. We need other rishonim who talk about that. Okay. And they want to say like this. The first gemara. There's two parts to this gemara. Okay. The first part of the gemara says like this. It talks about if you make temed. If you make temet, what bracha do you make on it? Okay, as I told you, the temet is you have these leftovers from the wine. Okay, in the case of the Gemara, it's called shmarim. Shmarim means is after you empty a barrel out, after the wine's been here for a while, there's stuff that's left on the bottom of the barrel. So those shmarim, if you take those shmarim and you add water to it, and then you come up with this temet, this like second wine that you get out of it. So the Gemara says, what bracha do you make? Hagafan and the shakel. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, there's a machlokes whether you make the shahakal or hagafen on it. That's a machlokes in the Gemara. The Gemara says, but you should know, look, the only machlokes is in a very specific case. If you put in 3 ounces, the Gemara doesn't use ounces, I'm going to use the word ounces, okay? You put in 3 ounces of water, and out comes 4 ounces of temet comes out of it, then it's for sure wine, that's because you make hagafen on it. You put in 3 ounces, and out came 4 ounces, so...
7 ounces, Yadra?
No, now you have 4 ounces. You put in 3, and now you have 4. So now then you make hagafen. What happens if you put in 3, and you get out 3, and you get 3 ounces? You want to say, show me chahako. Okay? You want to say, the machlokes, what happens if you put in 3, and you get out 3.5? Okay? If you put in 3, you put in 3 ounces of water, and out comes out 3 ounces of this temet, this like sort of wine, you make chahako. You put in 3 ounces of water, and out comes out 4 ounces of temet, you make hagafen. What happens if you put in 3 ounces and put in 3.5? That's almost like this what you make on it. So now, but what's of course, I'm distracting you for a second.
Mechalik is between 3 and 4?
No, Mechalik is the Gemara says 3.5. Okay? So what it means is, okay, which is very, it's very unclear. This is what the Gemara says. The Gemara says if it comes up more than 4 ounces, it's hagafen. If it's 3 ounces or less, then you make shahakal. I guess it can't be less. 3 ounces, you make shahakal. If it's 3.5, then you make then it's a machlokes. Okay, the Gemara didn't tell you what happens if there's a whole space between 3 and 4. You just told me it's only a machlokes if it's 3.5. Okay, well what's the din if it's something not 3.5? Okay, so there's a machlokes in the point about that. Okay, the Shach says it like this. The Shach says the only machlokes is if it's exactly at 3.5. If it's anything more than 3.5, then the din is you make hagafen. And the Shach says this has to do with the din that stam yayin is that wine is bottled with shisha. So if you think about it, if you put in 3 ounces of water and you get 3.5 ounces of come out, so it means there's 3 ounces of water, half an ounce of wine, that's bottled with shisha. That's bottled with shisha. That's 6 times. But if it's anything more than that, if it's 3.6, then it's going to not be bottled with shisha anymore, because now there's 0.6 ounces, so it's not bottled with shisha. That's how the Shach learns. Rabbi Kvenger agrees to the Shach if we're talking about trefoil. What? The machlokes is whether it's bottled with shisha or not, because I'm not going to explain you that sheet. The sheet has to do with that things actually more wine came out, there's more wine to be sucked out, and water was absorbed in. So there's really more wine than you think there is. It's not a half an ounce of water, there's really more an ounce of wine. And Rabbi Kvenger says, if this was treif wine, it would be true, but if it's kosher wine, then this is what the machlokes is. Okay, then the machlokes is all the way between 3.5 and 4. It has to do with the din, which is what the Gemara says, actually. The Gemara says that wine is usually diluted 3 to 1. So if you put it up to 4 ounces, that means it's just 3 parts water in one pot wine. Okay, this is not important for us, really. I'm only telling this to you. It's not important for our what we're talking about today. I'm telling you.
Do you know the difference?
What?
0.3 and they have 2.4 in Makhlukas?
Yeah.
What's the swarm in
the Because it has. This is by, only when it's by kosher wine in the Makhlukas. The swarm is because if it's anything less than the regular dilution of 3 to 1, wine is supposed to be diluted 3 to 1. If it's 3 to 1 dilution, then it's wine. If it's anything, if it's any a drop more than 3 to 1 water, then it's buckle and it's not wine anymore. Okay? So, this is not going to get this, except that I'm going to keep using the word 3 and 4. When I say 4, I mean this. Whatever the sheet is. Like. Trade. That's what we create good words. It's only for the trade part of it. But when it's, if it would be kosher wine, then it goes by the rules of 3 to 1. If it's 3 to 1, fine. If it's not more than 3 to 1, then it's not. Then it's not. Okay. So, the first part of the Gemara, okay, back to really what we need is. First part of the Gemara was that it depends on if it's 4 ounces or there isn't 4 ounces. You put in 3 ounces of water and you get out 4 ounces, then it's hagafen. And if you put out less than that, if you get less than 4 ounces, then it's shahada. Okay, that's the first part of the Gemara. Again, nothing to do with stanyayin yet. Okay, the second part of the Gemara says, they turn to Amar Alta. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, if you have temed made again out of shmarim, okay, but the shmarim were, there's something restricted about them. They're chumah or mice or hegdish. Okay, one of those kind of things. There's something special din about those things. So does the tenet have that din? Does the wine that you make out of that have that same din as this chumah or mice or whatever it is? So the Gemara says like this. It depends how restricted the original thing was. As you see on the chart here, if it's mice sheni yivdamai, then all the tenet is mutter. If it's regular mice sheni, it's the first tenet is usher, chumah is the second one is usher, hegdish, which kushes up is 3, and if it's hegdish, kushes up, they're all usher. Which means to say is, the Rashbam explains this, we're talking about is that you put in 3 ounces of water and got out 3 ounces of tenet. You got exactly what you put in. It's a special chumr for all these isurim that you usher a certain amount of temets that you make out of it. Okay, certain amount of extracts that you make out of it. Okay? Okay, so, all these gemaras are not talking about anything about stam yayin. They're talking about, one is about what bracha you make out of it, and one bracha is whether it should be usher because of chumr, meiser, and things like that. Okay? So the Rosh then says, okay, what about for stam yayin?
For some reason we don't probably use a bittul. I mean, you have to use a bittul for mice and chumra.
Right, it's a special chumra, that there's no bittul at all. Yes, you put in 3 ounces, it comes out 3 ounces. Okay? It's a special chumra, Rashi says, a chumra drabbanon, that for these things, once you get past mice, change of the mic, how many temets become us of this thing? So the Rosh brings 3 shittas, okay? The first shita. Now, to make things easy, if you are already confused, the 3 shittas, the first one is called Rav Avram Abdezin, and the second one is called the Ravid, okay? If it wasn't confusing enough, you couldn't have had 2 different people that argued about it. It could have been the Ramban and the Ravid, but no, it was Rav Avram Abdezin and the Ravid, okay? So, Rav Avram Abdezin says, if you want to know what the din is, when you make... Okay, I'm sorry, I'll say one thing. Sorry, one thing. If you read the Rosh, you would keep talking like I was. The Rosh says that in his day they didn't make temet out of shmarim. Okay, until now everything we heard now was temet made out of shmarim. That's the stuff left at the bottom of the barrel. They, in his day, they made temet out of what we call pumice. Okay, temet out of the seeds and the pits, katanim and zagim and the stems left over after you crush grapes. Okay, you crush grapes, you get all the juice out. The stuff that's left behind, right when you squeeze it, the pits and the peels of that, all that garbage, if you could use that to make tenet also. Okay? So the Gemara took that making from shmarim, he's talking about you making it from the leftovers after you squeeze it, all the junk that's left afterwards, and he says, what's the thing in that case? That's what he wants to talk about. That's what he wants to talk about, he wants to talk about the tenet or not. Today we're not talking about whether they themselves are usher or not. We're not talking about that. That's good to call. That's his own special question. Maybe next time, I'm not sure. Okay, so he says, we're talking about tenet made of chatzan v'zagin. Okay, if you read the Rosh, you might not catch that these two sheets are talking about that, but if you look inside, in the Rive itself, you'll see that's what he's talking about. Okay, he says like this. So the Rav Avraham Bezdin says like this. He says, you make the temet from chatzanim, you make it from the peels and pits. It's actually Maslakis Mishnah to Chatzanim. From peels and pits, he says you follow the rules of making brachas. If you put in 3 ounces and you get out 4 ounces, then it's wine. If you don't get out 4 ounces, it's not wine. But the first Gemara says you follow the rules of Hilchos brachas. And the Ravid says no, it's not true. There's a chumra for stam yayin. That stam yayin, it's looks like wine, and maybe they even bring probably zara. So there's a chumra for wine, that for wine, no matter how much you get out, you always make, it's always usher. That tem is always usher.
Usher meaning it will become usher. As a shem yain, and the good usher, it will become usher.
Correct. Yes, correct. Yes, I'm not being clear. Yes, it's wine. It's wine, and it can become usher no matter what. And that's supposed to run from our best and said, no, if all usher to follow the rules of wine. Okay, so now we can see Shulchan Aruch, the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch. So I told you two of the sheets so far. Shulchan Aruch says like this, okay, block that, what you're not supposed to read. Okay, the first part of Halacha Test, you'll see most of it later, okay? The beginning of Halacha Test is of Ramah Bezin. Mayim Shenesem Al HaChatzanim, okay, if you put water onto Chatzanim, okay, Ein Behem Yishum Yayin Esach, what you make out of that thing is not, you can't become Yayin Esach, Elim Kein Nasim Gimel Midas Mayim Matzadal. Unless you put in 3 ounces and you get out 4 ounces, then that's considered wine. Okay, that's based on, because Rav Ramah Bezin says, we follow the dinim of, what's called, of making wine, of making of the hagafen. And the Raven says, v'yesh v'sh'aymer, this is the second sheet of the Mechaber, v'yesh v'sh'aymer, sh'ein l'hatem agav v'kon b'shum temed, all temed is usher, koshum v'shubach l'shtia, no matter what, v'shum n'mechlef b'yayin gomor, as long as it has some kind of a taste of wine, it's usher, because people might confuse it with wine. Okay, so the first sheet he brings is the Rav Ramah Bezin, then he brings the Raven. Okay, the usual rules are when he talks like this, he means to pass like the first sheet, and I'll show you later again that he passes like the first sheet. Okay, so he passes like the Rav Ramah Bezin, that if you make temet out of chatzanim, then it's mutter, unless you put in 3 ounces and get out 4 ounces.
Where did you get this gzera
from? I don't know. Doesn't say. He just says, he says, wine, people will confuse it. Yeah, he says, people will confuse it. He says, and also, he says, wine has to do with Avodah Zarah. Stami has to do with Avodah Zarah. He says, who knows what they pour from Avodah Zarah? Maybe they pour Temet from Avodah Zarah. So that's what the Rebbe said. Okay, but we don't hold like that. We pass like the Rebbe of Bezdin, that it follows the rules of Brachas, and that's it. Okay, the third sheet in the Rush is Rabbeinu Yerna. Rabbeinu Yerna is not talking about the same case that the first two are talking about. Rabbeinu Yerna was talking about the case of the Gemara, that they made Temet out of Shmarim. And he says like this. He says, he doesn't buy what the Ravid says, that no matter what it's usher, he doesn't accept that. But he says it depends. If you make it from kosher wine, if you made this temet from shmarim, from kosher wine, then the din is the first temet is usher. If you make it from treif wine, they're all usher. What does that mean? Why should it make difference if it's kosher or treif? So he says, when you make it out of kosher wine, he's following the second Gemara that we said. The second Gemara said was, you remember it said there were 5 levels. If it was Maisa Sheni Sotamaya or Maisa Sheni or Tumah, so he says kosher wine is like Maisa Sheni. Basically, you're allowed to eat it. Okay, you're basically allowed to eat it. So then the din was, when it's made from Maisa Sheni, only the first temet is usher. But if it's from treif wine, that's like the most strict case in the Gemara. What the Gemara said is if it makes from Hekdesh, then it's usher, no matter how many temets you make. Okay, remember, go back with it. That chart, that's what he's saying. So if you made it from kosher wine, it's like Maizer Sheni. So the first temet is usher. Maizer Sheni is basically you laugh.
You eat usher and a kubakam usher. It's different though.
Yeah,
if Maizer Sheni, it's usher now. As a condition, Maizer Sheni.
No. So he said, if it's kosher wine, then the first one is usher, right?
Almost the meaning, it will be wine.
If it could become wine.
Both of Maizer Sheni, meaning it's Maizer Sheni now.
Right, that's correct. But what the point is it wine? It's considered wine. If it's considered wine, so then it has the name of a guy. But the first one has the name of only one, the first one does. But if it's treif wine, then it has a little head dish like Kedushas Guf, and no matter what, it's going to always be usher. Okay, so now you can see the Rabbeinu Yonah, okay, which is Halacha Yud Aleph. Okay, Rabbeinu Yonah says like this, Shmarim Shalanu, okay, if you take our Shmarim, kosher Shmarim, Shmarim from kosher wine, Shetimdan, or Matze El Kedem Yidasen, you put in the water, and you didn't get anything more, you got exactly as much water came out as put in. The first temet is mutter. The first temet is considered wine, and the second temet is not. But if you have shmarim from treif wine, that's the later case. Even if you made it many times, it has the same thing. Okay? Now, there's an important piece of Jubi here, who says when he talked about Shmarim, the same thing would be as if he made it from Chatzan, Rabbeinu Yonah, that also. Okay? One last thing before we get to the practical cases, I told you this is complicated, is Rabbeinu Yonah says something else. He says, back in the first day, okay, Rabbi Ramah Bezdin said, Mayim Shenesim al Chatzanim don't have Yain Esach. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, but that's only true if it was Chatzanim Shalanu. Okay, that's only true if it was made from kosher wine. Okay, which is the case he was talking about. He made it from kosher wine. And it's only talking about Shinidru Chuburegel. Okay, that's another complication. But if it's Voynetru Vagagal, they were not pressed well, which is to say is, when you press the grapes, you could smash them with your feet. You could imagine that there's lots of juice left over in the peels and pits. But if Voynetru Vagagal, they were not pressed with a stick, something mechanical. What do you say? I don't think that they had a screw. We use it with a screw, but I don't think they did. So, Parmishem Shemi Usher, I feel much. If you did it with a lot of juice, with a lot of juice left over it, then you get two. Okay? The question says, well, that sort of means is we give it a second in. Not like Maisha Shani, it's like Chuma. Okay? It has like two. Usher. And Netzer Vagagal, well, if it was Netzer Vagagal, so there's there's very little juice in it, then you only Usher if you put in three and you get a four. Okay, so now that I try to make it clear, I probably confused even more than you were beforehand. But now I have to get to some practical cases. Then I'll more talk to us. Okay, this whole thing of tended in halacha tes and halacha yud, yud aleph, we're not doing halacha yud for today. That's this black line over here. At the end of halacha yud, we're not doing that either. We'll get to them. But this whole thing is very obscure. Okay, if you listen to this thing, it's like, what on earth are they talking about? What kind of thing is that a guy makes? So it turns out that there's something, that this tenet that we make from chatzanim, okay, actually has a name to it. It has a name to how people make it, okay? And it's called piquet. Okay, so what on earth is piquet? Okay, piquet is made, it's made from taking chatzanim. If they squeeze out the grapes, they take the peels and the pits and all the stuff that's left over, and they soak it and put water onto it, and they make like a weak wine that comes out of that. Okay, exactly the tamid that was described in the Shulchan Aruch, the first case of the Shulchan Aruch, like the Rush said, they make it nowadays by us, that's what they make here also.
That's everything also,
so they ferment it, and it comes into a weak wine. So it used to be, in the times of way back when, they called it Laura, okay, that's what the Greeks called it, that's what they tell me. But nowadays they call it Piquet. So it happens, go figure, that in Europe it's illegal to make it. Okay? It's illegal to make it. Okay? I'm not saying that. Right. It's illegal to make it and sell it to drink as is. You can use it, you'll hear other recent things to do with it. You can't sell it as is. You can't go into the store and buy a bottle of Piquet. You can give it to your neighbors. Maybe use it as or for consumption in the families of individual wine growers. Like, you give it to you. Probably, because it confuses people. People think it's like regular wine. It's not real wine. I don't know why it's legal. Okay, but it used to be, it seems that... I don't have to tell you. So it just is. But it seems that they used to give it to the slaves. Okay, that was a drink for them. That was like the garbage for them to drink. Okay, so, but in America, in recent years, people have started making it, okay? In other words, if you think about it, there's all this garbage left over after you squeeze out the grapes. After you squeeze out the grapes, you have this chatzanim and zagim left over. So these people figured out, we're going to make some money out of this thing, okay? So what's the din of this thing? Okay, so, I don't remember what the next picture is. Okay, so what the din is? So if it was made for, I was in touch with a guy who makes this in the United States. Okay? He told me, the person told me, he said that in his mind, he thinks that they put in exactly as much water they put in as what comes out. Okay? And that they put in 3 ounces, they get out 3 ounces. He wasn't exactly so sure, but that's what he said in his mind. Because it draws out some of the sugar or some of the sweetness or some of the wine. Because some gets absorbed back in also. That's what the Rashbam was saying. Some get absorbed back into the grapes. I'm not convinced that he knew what he was talking about. What I mean is that he told me. He says, I'm not sure really how much comes out. But I said, we're just going to fill it up and it comes out and whatever, so it works. We don't know. We don't know exactly how it works. What? No, in America he can't. This guy's in America, he could sell it. Yeah. That's right. So it works. It works. Okay. So what will be is like this. If they would make it from kosher wine, okay, this guy was not making kosher. If he made it from kosher wine, and it was natural but gagal, which is not so likely, meaning So it is like they press the grapes really well. Then the din is, it would only be considered one if you put in 3 ounces and got out 4 ounces. So according to the way this person is describing, if he's saying the truth, the way he's describing, his stuff would not be considered wine. Okay, according to what he's describing, he puts in 3 ounces, gets out 3 ounces, and that's from a gadol. His stuff would not be considered wine. If a guy touched it, it would be mutter to eat that. Okay, if it would be nidruch beregel, then he wasn't pressed so well, which was not so likely in America. If it's nidruch beregel, then we'd say the first two us and the last one is mutter. Okay, so this is the halacha test, is this stuff, this paket. If you make it from treif wine, which is what Mustafa is going to make it from, like this person is, make it from treif wine, then we say is, if you make it from treif, then no matter how many tablets you make from it, no matter how little water comes out of it, it's always awesome. So we don't pass it to derive it, okay? You know, I forgot to tell you that the halacha in Aleph, if you remember, Rabbeinu Yonah who said that depends if it's kosher or treif, does not hold like the derive it. So the Shach points out, he says, the fact that Malachi Yidalef, the Mechaber just brings the Rabbi Yonah just like that, tells us that he doesn't pass like the Rive in the first place. He only brings a Yesh Aymer Mo, Yesh Mishar Aymer, something like that. Okay? We don't pass like this Rive. Okay. That's
what percent of alcohol is?
Like 4 or 5%. It's weak. It's very strong.
How did it get so red?
I have no
idea. Anybody told him? Is there a possibility that because they're playing a meeting,
you think those, they themselves will be gentler on their original wine? Okay, that's not my impression, but it could be.
Assuming he doesn't just buy the stuff.
Right, I don't know. It's really theoretical.
He's putting his water, he buys junk, you know, and get it with some water.
The normal case for us is they made it from treif wine. And by treif wine, Rabbi Yonah said, if you make it from treif, no matter how many tablets you make, no matter how little comes out, from the shmarim, from the chatzanim, it's always awesome. Rabbi Yonah took much shmarim, the Piskei Tshuva says he took with chatzanim also, no matter what, it'll be awesome. Okay? That's the
case. Olives are put in chemicals to extract it from the
therefore what? Okay, now, there's another thing. Now, paket, you probably never heard of. Okay, most people, I never heard of any of this until recently. Okay, but there's something else you may have yes heard of. Okay, and that's called pomace brandy. It goes by other names, mark or grappa. Grappa is maybe a name you may have heard of. Okay, one of those things. Okay, well, one of those things. That is, you take, after you, no pictures, sorry, this one I don't have a picture of. You squeeze your grapes, and you get your chatzanim and zagim left over, and the stems, all the stuff is left over, so there's still a certain amount of sugar and alcohol left behind. So then you want to get the alcohol out of those. Okay? You don't, this paquet is to make a drink out of it. You want to have to drink it. But when you want to grapple or pomace brandy, it's the same thing. When you want to make those, you're trying to get the alcohol out of it. Okay? So then there's two ways to do it. It's the same thing in the end, but for two ways of doing it. Depends if you start with red wine or white wine. Okay? The nafkamina between red wine and white wine is, as you, I've probably mentioned it already, it does have nothing to do with what color grapes you start with. It has to do with whether you let the chatzanim and zagim sit in the juice. If they sit in the juice while it's turning into wine, then a lot of color leaches out of them, and you get red wine. If it doesn't sit in the juice, you pull them out of the juice right away, then you get white wine. Okay, so if you're making red wine, then the chatzanim and zagim that are pulled out, the pomace that's pulled out, has alcohol in it. The stuff that comes out with it is already alcoholic. If you did it with white wine, then there's no alcohol yet. You pull it out right away. But the long and short of it is that if you add water to these chatzanim and zagim, you make that temet, and then you distill it. You don't make it into a drink like the piquette that becomes a drink that you actually drink this low alcohol drink. You take this low alcohol drink and you keep distilling it till you get pure alcohol. Okay, and that's what in Europe, that's what you have to do with it. You can either distill it or sell it, give it to your neighbor. Even if it just gets only 5% alcohol, but if you distill it, you're going to separate the alcohol out, leaving everything else behind. So you took this garbage, the chatzanim zagim, which is garbage, and you pull out a little bit of alcohol out of that. Then you, by distillation, you separate whatever little wine you can make out of it, you separate the alcohol out, and you're leaving the garbage behind. Okay, so you're getting a little bit out of it. Okay, that's called grappa or pomace brandy. Okay, and that brings us to our last case. And that is like this. Okay? It, 30 years ago, hashkafas were just like getting to where they are nowadays. They're becoming more modern and sophisticated and, doing what we do, what we're used to nowadays. Okay? And there was this thing that they called them the vinegar crisis. Okay? Which was what? Okay? What happened was, just the real truth. Okay? What happened was, What happened was, there was a company.
No.
There was a company called Sophia, okay, which was under Hashkacha from the OK. The OK gave them Hashkacha for their alcohol. It was a company in France. And this company, it turned out that this company's alcohol was used to make vinegar. It wasn't used so much for the alcohol, but it was used to make vinegar. And what happened was, they found out that the alcohol that they were making from was making from wine. They were making the alcohol from wine. So, of course, the OK looked terrible. Here they're giving Hashkacha, and it turned out that the stuff was being made from wine. So the OK turned around and says, he says, what do you want from our life? Everybody else considers it to be group one. They say that alcohol doesn't even have hashkacha. We never thought of the idea that someone can make it out of wine. I'll tell you why in a second. No, we have no idea that no one can make it out of wine. And everybody else takes it without hashkacha. Alcohol. Not only do they take alcohol without hashkacha, they were buying from this company, Sophia. They showed the papers. They were buying from Sophia even before we gave hashkacha. So what, he's saying it's our fault that we gave hashkacha to them, and that's why we're making all these problems. We didn't make the problem. They were buying even before they had hashkacha. So, all right, they were buying before it, so it's not us that we did the thing. So it was a big to-do, as you can imagine. They're here, they are trying to defend themselves. Okay, so before I tell you a little bit more about it, so let me just pause for a second. My apologies, he may remember that when this happened, this part you're not going to remember, is that there was a huge tumult. So what was going on? New lists were coming out every day, and Rabbi Lubian came to Canarsie to speak in the shul about it, came to speak in my father's shul about this, about what was going on. I don't know if you remember that part. But he came to...
I remember Bell when I come to Chicago.
Okay. So he came, and two big things came out that people sort of didn't realize. The first one was, they didn't realize how much hashkachas were interconnected. They thought that if I give hashkacha on potato chips, I know about everything that happened in it. And the truth is, I'm buying things from my company that I'm giving hashkacha to, buys in some other hashkachas. So particularly, the Hamishah were very embarrassed that here people are finding out that it came with a big hashkacha with all kinds of fancy Hebrew words, but the ingredients came from hashkachas that, the trefa hashkachas that we wouldn't eat from, you know what I mean? So people found out that things were interconnected, that was one thing. And the second thing was that they found out, or the hashkachas realized that they had no idea which ingredients went into which products. Okay, thought that sounds so strange, but the Mashiach went in, he made sure everything was kosher and everything was fine, but there was no centralized person who knew which ingredients went into which things. Each Mashiach went to his place and he took care of it to make sure it was okay. So when they found out that Sophia's alcohol was no good and their vinegar was no good, they couldn't figure out for the life of them who was using it. Okay, and that's why every day a new list would come out. Same time, this one's okay, no it's not okay, back and forth. And that pushed the Hashkachas to where we are today, where they began computers and databases and all kinds of things, and many of us hashkachas have formulas, so if we would find out that someone's vinegar is no good, we could basically pretty quickly find out which products are using it, and then which products are therefore no good. That's what the idea of centralizing things and computerizing stuff. Okay, anyway, back to where we were. So, the okay was saying was, everybody considered group one didn't need hashkacha, because, and they were right
in the alcohol as well.
No, not because of Rome. Because the logic was, why would anybody take wine? Wine costs how many dollars per gallon, and turn it into alcohol that sells for pennies per gallon? Why would anybody? It didn't make any sense that someone should take wine and turn it and use it just sell it as pure alcohol. Wine is much more valuable than alcohol, so why would anybody?
Who's ethyl alcohol?
Yeah, why would anybody take wine
and?
There was no reason to dream that anybody, and in fact, all Ashkachas at that time thought the same way. They were choshes for chametz. They worried that maybe made from grains that were chametz. That's fine. What to worry about? But said, why would anybody make it? It made no sense. So therefore, they weren't choshes for that at all. Okay. So Taka, what was with Sophia? The answer is that Sophia. Sometimes, before I get to Sophia, sometimes, as you may know, it used to be that the governments would pay people to do exactly that. Okay, in Europe, they wanted to support the wine growers, so sometimes they would convince people, they would give them incentives to turn wine into just pure alcohol, to distill into alcohol, so they had said that it would prop up the price for the regular wine. Okay. Destroy some of the wine to keep the prices up. It seems that nowadays there aren't such incentives anymore, but definitely was such a time that there was the government gave an incentive to get rid of wine in order to prop up the price. Okay, but that's not what Sophia was doing. Sophia was doing it because Sophia wasn't taking wine and turning it into alcohol. That's not what they were doing. Okay, and I'm going to show you in a second what they were doing. Before to tell you what they were doing is the following. when this whole to-do was going on, this whole crisis, I mean, the whole world was, everybody was all worried about what to do, and they couldn't figure out what to eat, and whether it's mutter or not, so there were, the OU gathered together a bunch of rabbanim, some involved in Hashgacha, some in that, and they had, if I understand correctly, two meetings, these people together, to talk about it, well, different parts of the Shaila, okay? And Rav Shechter wrote up notes of what happened at those meetings, okay? And that was printed in Masura, it was printed elsewhere also, he printed up notes of what happened at those meetings. What were the Shaila? What were they talking about? Of why should it be maybe mutter, what should be done, and all kinds of parts of the Shaila, what should happen during this vinegar issue, vinegar crisis. Okay, what should they do about it? So that was, there was a meeting, and in there, Rav Shechter describes, it's towards the beginning, what this was, which will help us understand what happened. Okay, it's like this. V'ah, she'ein oisens alcohol me'ayayin atzmoy, they don't make this alcohol out of wine. El me'hatem et hanasim et hashmaram. What they did was, they were making, it was temet. They weren't making from regular wine. Nobody would waste their wine. They were doing was, after the wine was finished being made, now they took shmarim, and they took the leftovers that were there, what was left over, and they made temet out of it. And so once you make temet out of, which took with temet, so it's garbage, it's not something people really want to drink, then you can understand someone turned that into alcohol. Okay, so no one had thought that through at that point. They only thought is, would anybody take wine and turn it into alcohol? Of course nobody would do that. It doesn't make sense to do that, but to temet you would do, okay? And you pour water on these on the shmarim many times. And then you go on to talk about it, what I'm going to tell you in a second, a shiloh about that, okay? No, they put a put water, one water, and another water, and another water, and another water. They keep trying to extract whatever they can, anything out of the water. Right, but they were trying to get as much as they could out of it. They're trying again and again and again to try, and whatever, everything they can get is saving from the garbage. Everything you can get. So the point is that they were not making it out of wine. That was the mistake. No one thought that you could make this to make it out of the garbage, but from the wine pack, it made no sense to make it out of it.
Is this true or is it not true?
This is what happened. This is what Safishi was doing. This is his description of what they were doing in his writing about the meetings they were having. The ones that started had to do with this thing. Okay, so let's think about what happened. Now we just learned the din of temet. Okay, what's the din of the temet? So if you would had they been making this on kosher wine, we could talk about the details of should it be. Should it be, you have to get 4 out of 3, should it be the first or the second one? But of course, sufficient has been getting out of treif wine. Okay, so we saw the Rabbanian said that it and halachidav that if you make it out of treif wine, and it's maroon with an halacha test, so if you make it out of treif wine, it doesn't make any difference how many temets you make out of it. As many extracts as you make out of the thing, it always stays awesome. Okay? So this sad to say that the fact that it was made out of temet, which they consider, maybe it's made out of temet, maybe that should make it okay. The answer is, since they made the temet, since Sufishu was making it out of treif wine, and since they were making it from wine that started off as Yain Nesef, doesn't make a difference how many temets you make, they all hold on to that din, no matter what. It's a good Rabbanu, but they hold on to that din. Okay? Now, when Rabbi Shapta said Shmarim, I have a feeling that was a mistake, okay? Because we don't know of any modern way of getting temet out of shmarim, and we do know how to make temet out of chartanim and zagim. And people who wrote about it afterwards said that really he said what happened was they were making pomace wine. I did not answer Rishon. He's not going to remember from 30 years ago whether the word shmarim was daf or not daf. It doesn't make a difference for the din. It doesn't make a difference because all of it comes from a guy. It doesn't make a difference to us. I don't think that the word shmarim was Wadafka, really is made from Chatzanim Zayin, which is how, again, other people, the Pickle Book and other people, have described it, that they made it out of, it was Chatzanim Zayin, so at least we heard some practical application of these very unusual dinim. In Mitzvah, I'm not sure if it's going to be next time, or I'm going to wait for Halachi Dalet. There's some other pieces to go out, especially from Halachi Yud, other practical, quite a practical application.